We're going to give our attention today to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, but I'm going to back up and read a few verses before that because it comes in the context of a whole thought that I want you to understand. So start in verse 22 of chapter 1. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. As I said, these first three verses continue an idea that was begun in verse 22, which also stands in the flow of a larger argument that Peter has been making. And that larger argument has been that we belong to Christ, and from that belonging to him flow a series of imperatives, flow a series of commands on how we are to live our lives. Our identity in Christ then is where Peter starts this book. And remember, this was a book to those suffering persecution, and so it would have been important for them to remember that identity. But then from that identity flow the relationships, flow the commands that God has given. And this forms another part in that series of imperatives or commands that God has given. And that identity is captured in the verses before where it says, having been born again. Having been born again. There's the identity that we have in Christ that gives rise then to the commands or the actions that flow from that. Having been born again, he says, love one another. And God especially uses his word to cause us to grow in our love for one another. And that's the subject of these three verses especially, is that God uses his word to cause us to grow in love towards each other. And it rests, first of all, on the word that gives us life. God uses his word that we might be born again. And you'll note that above as well, that having been born again, then falling through the word of God. God uses, by his Spirit, he uses his word to change our lives, and we are born again through that work of God. You'll remember some other places that happens, that's drawn out in the New Testament especially. For instance, Romans 10:17. See if you can fill in the blank here. Faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. Very good. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see the word of God and how the Spirit uses that to grant life. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 is another passage that demonstrates this that I like, that shows the work of God's Spirit. This isn't one that I've laid up in my heart to memorize, but I think I might. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. I want you to notice the life-giving aspect that the Spirit brings to the word of God, and that it is effectively working in those who believe. So just how does this serve the purpose of loving one another? Let's put it in these terms. do you have a special feeling for those that are in your own family? I kind of set that one up, by the way. I asked the question, didn't I? Do you have a special love for those in your own family? Well, of course you do. Of course you do. If you were to ask Mary, Mary, do you love your brothers and sisters? I was going to predict that she would say no. That's the answer that she gives. A special feeling. I noticed during lunch that Mary bonked her head up here, and she went and laid her head on Will's lap to find comfort. And there's a special love that a family has for each other. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have been born again into a family of God. And that being born again, being adopted into his family, implies a certain sort of feeling, good feeling, towards those that are brothers and sisters in Christ. There is a natural care that we have. We may know how to rub the fur the wrong way, but if one of our own children is in trouble, we rally around them. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, there's that support. And we were just talking about how having others pray for us and support us during trial is something that's very important. So being born again to a living hope is the first cause for our loving our neighbors and loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's I described this a couple weeks ago, that there's a vertical relationship with God that then gets played out on the horizontal. That as we are alive in Christ, that it gets played out in our love for each other. The forgiveness of those who sin against us. The care and concern and compassion that we show. Let's go on then to see what he says in verses 1 through 3 especially, to show how the Word of God is for your growth. I want you to look especially at verse 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. That's by it you may grow thereby. The New King James doesn't have that, in respect to salvation. As newborn babes long for the pure milk of the Word. He's already talked about being born again in the verses that came before, and so he is continuing this idea of the new birth when he talks about babies who are longing for the pure milk of the Word. And that's an analogy that's easily grasped, isn't it? It's really easy for us to understand how hungry a baby can be and how it longs for its mother's milk. You can relate to that just by going day by day, and your stomach starts to growl. Nathan, does your stomach growl sometimes? Sometimes. What does it mean when your stomach growls? Anybody?
Hungry.
Yeah, it means that you're hungry. So what do you do when you're hungry? Nathan? Yeah, you go and get something to eat. And God gives us something to eat because we're hungry. He gives us something to so that we would grow and get strong and get big. Yeah. We ask God to supply from his word so that we would grow and get strong. He says the pure milk here, and some have taken this to talk about a simplicity, and the analogy of milk is used in 1 Corinthians to describe something that is elementary as opposed to the meat of the gospel. And that's not what Peter's getting at here. Don't confuse that passage in Paul would hear. What he is emphasizing here is these three things. First of all, that we long for teaching that is pure, that it's rooted in the pure doctrine of God's Word. Second of all, that teaching is vital for life. Can babies survive without milk? Can you survive when your stomach's growling? Can you survive very long without food? No, we don't. We aren't made that way. God has given us something that is vital for our lives, and that thing that's vital for our lives is the Word of God. He's given us His Word to supply us. It's vital for life. And thirdly, He gives us to show the emphasis of our longing for it. He describes that baby that is desiring the pure milk of the Word. And I use the New American longing there. I like that. It communicates the desire that we have, and it's communicated in this verse. And it communicates the place that God's Word should have in our lives, that we should long for it. Our stomachs growl. Our lives growl and grumble, longing for the connection with God that is established, that the Spirit makes through His Word. And so there is those three things that come through in that idea of the pure milk of the Word. This is all to serve a purpose. It's all to serve the purpose of of loving one another. I use my Bible is the, I can't remember what it's called, the New Geneva Study Bible. It has a new name now. It's the New Geneva Study Bible, and they have a title of this paragraph called The Enduring Word, and that comes because that's the word of the gospel which preached to you, the enduring nature of that exhibits the enduring nature of our life in Christ. But I don't think that's the right heading for this paragraph. The imperative is to love one another. The imperative is that we love one another fervently from a pure heart. And that's what this paragraph is about. And the enduring word is something that equips us to do that. It's the enduring word that tells us that we are alive in Christ, and that being alive in Him, that we love one another. And it's that enduring word that then teaches us how to live. And it has that place of vital necessity that we long for. But the main heading is love for one another. So how does the word for growth teach us to love one another? Well, look at verse 1. Lay aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. Do those have anything to do with loving one another? Well, let's define each one of those. Some of those are big words, and I want to make sure the children understand what these are. Somebody define malice for me. What is malice? Abby? That's right. Hating somebody. Does that sound like loving one another? It sure doesn't. It goes exactly opposite, doesn't it? The Word of God instructs us and helps us to put that off. Define deceit. What is deceit? This is easy for some of you. Yeah, three. A lie is deceit. To lead someone astray, to be untrue with them. How does that affect the one another's? Does that affect the one another's? You better believe it. If your brothers or sisters just in your own home has lied to you, there's strife that comes up in your home, isn't there? And the Word of God comes into, that enduring Word of God comes in to prompt us and convict us to put off deceit. define hypocrisy. Danny? Okay, good. That's a good example of it. You're telling someone not to do something and then you go and practice it yourself. Being one thing on the outside, whitewashed sepulcher, and something else on the inside. We sometimes call it being two-faced. Over here, I say, you shouldn't do blah, 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 blah. Over here, I say, wow, let me go. I'm going to do that. That's what two-faced is about, by saying one thing and practicing something else. Does that have anything to do with our relationship with each other? Yeah, you might be tying burdens on someone else. What else? Just that there's a. Yeah. The relationships begin to crumble when there's no trust, when there's hypocrisy, and going back and forth, when you don't deal rightly with each other. Let's go on to lost my place. Let's go on to envy. Someone define envy. Bridget. Yeah, being jealous of wanting what they want or wanting what they have. Elizabeth? Yeah, it's not even that you want it, it's that they have it and you don't, so you hate them for it.
Idolatry.
Yeah, at the root there's idolatry. You have set that up as most important. So what do I ask next? What does that have to do with loving one another? How does that hurt loving one another? Jim?
It can lead you into, say, for instance, like David wanting somebody else's wife.
Yeah.
Now you kill the man, but you know now you've taken his wife, and that causes problems. Problems arise from that. Causing friction, which this is trying to avoid.
It's a great example of that. Yeah. Lisa? Yeah. It causes quarrels. James talks about that, the source of strife as being the envy that rises up. And finally, evil speaking, and that will leave, it defines itself as either speaking evil about someone else or even just the coarseness of our language that causes friction. And each one of these, Peter is saying, is confronted by the enduring word of God and the call up above of loving the brethren fervently with a pure heart. And as you think about your relationship in your own home and your relationship with this body of Christ right here, I want you to remember this passage this week especially, to see how God is challenging you by his word to love fervently your brothers and sisters in Christ. It goes beyond this body. It goes beyond to the broad kingdom of Christ, but it's played out most vividly in our day-to-day interactions as a body of believers. Just to close then, verse 3 says that if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I'll remind you that this rests on having been born again, that we move from having been forgiven to being forgiving. That's what we found in our Lord's Prayer, in the parable of the unforgiving servant. This is what Jesus is working in us And just as a reminder, again, the context here is that we are in the we're in the midst of a letter to a persecuted church, and the message that Peter is giving here is one where God uses his word and the body of Christ to cause us to grow. He causes us to love one another and to grow in that. And I would suggest that as you face the trials of this life, this is good medicine for us. This is good application for us. We identify ourselves with Christ, and then get busy about the callings that He has placed on us. And in this case, giving ourselves wholeheartedly to loving the brethren in Christ with a pure love, as motivated by God's word. Let's bow together before the Lord. Father, as we close our day together, we are reminded of the great privilege that it is to be part of the Christian body, the body of Christ, to be part of a local fellowship. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be confronted with deceit and hypocrisy and evil speaking and envy. Lord, use your word to reveal that in my life and in the life of each one here. Convict us of sin, and I pray that you would use that word to cleanse us, to cause us to grow in grace, and to put off the deeds of the old man, and to put on the deeds of the new, that we would be practicing truthfulness and genuineness, contentedness in our relationships with each other. Instruct us by your word to grow in grace of these things, that we might truly love one another, since we have been born again by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.